Next on BYUSN, BYU basketball rallies in the second half to beat Colorado in Boulder last night. What was the turning point for the Cougars in their 16-point win? And with BYU picking up that first road win of the season, how much stock are we actually putting into what they did in Boulder?
ESPN's Sean Farnham is back to discuss the Cougars' win over the Buffs and preview another gotta-have-it game at home against Cincinnati. And what's at stake tonight for men's volleyball in a massive top-five matchup at UC Irvine?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, January 22nd. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who, no kidding, actually knows what happened in the final 2 minutes of the game between BYU and Colorado last night. He is Jerem Jordan.
So I've talked to a lot of people. Shockingly, Ralphie, the Buffalo, ran onto the court.
What?
And they had to get him off, and then they finished the game. So you didn't miss much, but...
Was it anticlimactic like his run before the Alamo Bowl?
Yes, that
because
was
he clearly did not want to run, just like their football team didn't want to run.
That was just a taste of what was about to happen. No, there was a part where the broadcast just cut to red, and then for some reason they kept playing off TV. So... That's funny.
How does that happen?
This is what it looked like.
How does that happen?
Well, technical issues I don't have a problem with. Why did they keep playing the game when it wasn't on TV?
Just hold the game.
Timeouts for a minute.
Yes.
That was pretty funny.
I thought maybe something
Luckily,
happened.
Luckily, it wasn't a close game.
Right?
Oh,
if
it was
it
a
were
blowout.
Down to the wire?
Yeah.
And I thought maybe there's an issue with my TV provider. Like maybe... There was lag, and for
Here's
some reason,
knew.
It just like
the
skipped
The bottom
ahead.
Line was still going.
Exactly. And I was like, no. Yes. That bottom ticker is still going. There is something wrong.
Was there a Ute in the truck? Why was it red?
And why wasn't it blue?
That's
a fair question.
Color bars.
That's a fair question.
Why was it red?
We will not be cutting to red today. We're cutting to blue.
Craig All Smith, you dog.
Rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
A little stare down of the CU student section. Richie Saunders, what a play! Wow. Trevin Nell, 4 for 4 from deep. There's the lob. Kava throws it down. It's all BYU. The Cougs get their first away win of the year. BYU over the Buffs.
Exciting.
Woo. It's about time. What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. As you just heard Greg Rebel remind all of the people, BYU gets their first road win of the season. They do so in dominant fashion, 83-67. However, BYU trailed by 10 points in the first half. And on social media, people were like this close to just smashing the panic button. But then BYU rallies, and they win convincingly. So, Jerem, as you look at what happened between BYU and Colorado... And I'll ask you this in just a moment. We're going to discuss turning point and what this means. But first, BYU head coach Kevin Young on this win and what it means to beat Colorado.
Just really proud of our guys' response, both in that first half, and then we certainly carried into the second half. I thought that blitz we went on there, I don't know what the final numbers were on that run we went on, but that was certainly the big takeaway. Just proud of our guys for kind of coming together at halftime and just saying we were going to go find a way to win it.
A 39-6 run, in fact, as BYU took control of that game. So, Jerem, what was the turning point that pushed BYU in the right direction on that massive run that Coach Young was just referencing?
It came out with tempo in the second half. I think it's clear that if BYU runs, they're a better team. They just get some looks in transition that they don't get in the half court. They get at the rim. Like, push the tempo more.
If they play with pace.
Yes. Come on. Yay, Goran Dallin. Push it up the court. And when they do, I think BYU looks pretty good. They got in transition. Trevin Nell made 3 threes in 3 minutes. Richie Saunders made a three, that was big. Out of the break, 23-2. Just pounded the Buffs. Second half, Richie was awesome. 25 points on 10 of 15 shooting. Get Richie shots. Richie's the best player on the team. I know there are NBA prospects on the team, but Richie is the best player on the team. And it's awesome. More on Richie in a moment. BYU shot a season high. 58.5%, season high 45.8 from three. They made free throws, so you didn't do it, Utah. Three dudes made three or more threes. Richie Saunders, Trevin Nell, Dawson Baker, three
for
three.
Yeah, how about Dawson Baker?
Yegor Demon had a really nice game. I think I'm overthinking that Yegor's going to score like 15 a game. I think Yegor's like a 12-a-game guy, but he had 7 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks, 2 turnovers. BYU's second-best efficiency number, which they categorize as like the points, assists, rebounds, blocks, steals minus missed shots and turnovers. Number one is Richie. Number two is Yegor. He had a great game. Would have liked to have seen more. You can't have something good from everybody in a game, but would have loved a little more from Dallin Hall and Cannon Catchings. They combined for 5 points on one of six shooting.
Cannon dropped in a three, which...
it was nice to see.
It was good to see something positive happen for him, and this was right after he stole the ball away. And
yes. And had a, did he have another tee in this game?
Yes, for hanging on the rim.
That one's a little more tolerable than just like shoving dudes. But yeah, points per possession offensively. I haven't categorized like all year, but like 1.317, it's got to be one of the best, if not the best all year. That was amazing. Second best win of the season by Quad.
Yes.
100 net. Isn't like a great win per se, but on the road, first road win, awesome. Quad 2, awesome. Big 12 win, awesome. BYU 2-0 against Colorado in football and men's basketball, plus 38, and we have better snow. So I think BYU
right
and
now,
the
I don't
state
know.
Of Utah. That's true. I mean, the type of snow,
yes.
The amount, the type of snow.
Okay.
So anyway. Great night for the Cougs. Glad BYU beat up Colorado because I thought that's what they should do, and they did it.
I've been beating the same drum all year long when it comes to big moments and turning points. You need to rely on your veterans. And when BYU was down 10, who hit the shot? Richie Saunders. In fact, Richie Saunders went on a Richie run there to put BYU back in a good place mentally going into the locker room. You rely
this
on your veterans.
So
oh, my goodness. Yegor
Deming
between the legs. How about Mawit Mag? That's a name we haven't mentioned. His defensive intensity is something that Coach Young has talked about a lot and what he brings to both sides of the floor. His defensive intensity helps BYU play with better pace.
Yeah, and look at Richie's numbers. I mean, he was efficient.
You called him the dude of requirement.
Okay, so in Harry Potter, there's the room of requirement. The dude of requirement for BYU basketball is Richie Saunders.
Yes, we have explained this
a few
times.
He gives you what you need.
And it's perfect. 10 of 15, the floater coming in from the right side on the baseline.
Yep.
He's got a lot of different arrows in his quiver.
Yes. Nice reference there, Katniss Everdeen.
You're welcome. Nice. Okay. We're talking about movies. Might as well keep it rolling.
Yeah.
But you rely on your veterans when you need a big shot. So the turning point for me was, okay, BYU's in a weird mental state right now. You're down 10 against a bad Colorado team on the road. What do you do? I was watching the game with my wife, Brittany, and I said, I don't know what they're going to do. Like, somebody needs to hit a big shot, and it probably needs to be one of the veterans. And then it was the Richie run. So you rely on those guys when things get weird, just like BYU did with Dallin Hall when it got weird against Oklahoma State. Those are the guys that are going to lead you to victory when you absolutely have to have it. So crisis averted, BYU wins convincingly.
Yeah, if you lose that game.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm probably saying I don't think BYU makes a tourney.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So it was good to see not just to win, but BYU played, I would argue, its best offensive game of the season.
And they shot the three well.
Yeah.
And that was important on the road. This wasn't at the Marriott Center.
Right.
So, I mean, that matters.
Right.
In fact, last night in his postgame press conference, let's go back to Coach Young, who was asked if how BYU's offense performed in this game, in the second half specifically, was how he envisioned his offense being run before the start of the season.
Yeah, I think that spurt that we had where, you know, we were running off of our defense, our offense was well spaced, and it obviously looks better when you make shots. You know, we just haven't shot the ball at a clip that I know we're capable of yet. And so when we do, you know, we're pretty, you know, we can put up 45 points in a half like we did tonight.
I'm ready for BYU to shoot 33s a game again. I'm not kidding. They still have good shooters. They don't have as many as they did last year, but their superpower is still their ability to, one, play with pace, which you have pointed out.
That's controllable.
And
you
two,
just run.
Shoot the three. Richie Saunders, look at the percentages.
We'll talk about, well.
Look at the percentage. Dawson Baker, good three-point shooter. Dallin Hall, good three-point shooter. Richie Saunders.
Richie Saunders is the best three-point shooter in the Big 12.
Fantastic three-point shooter.
That's
Trevin Nell.
That's a fact.
Trevin Nell's on a heater if you look at his season overall.
Yes. I think what I've decided is Richie's probably going to give you 10-plus a game, right? Anywhere from 10 to like 30. And then what you need is
quite the range.
Trevin Nell, right? Or Dallin Hall to give you 10 plus. You need one of those two. You can't both not do that.
I'm ready for those guys to shoot a bunch of threes.
I want good threes, like catch and shoots where you're getting open. I don't want dribble into threes too often.
If they're making 10 out of 30, 33%, they're going to win games.
That would do, yeah. And BYU's been pretty good this year when they've made at least 10. They lost a couple, but they won the majority of those. So.
Shoot more. I mean, the way that they shot the ball last night, and at times they have in the past, it's like, just do what you do best.
Yeah.
I feel like this team, even though they lost some good shooters in Jackson Robinson, and Noah Waterman, and Ali Khalifa, like, I know, but they have...
Three's a lot.
They still have enough that are capable. And
the right guys need to be shooting threes. Yes.
Shoot 33s? Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. I love to watch that last night.
Okay. That was awesome. With that said, how much stock are you putting into BYU's win over Colorado, who's now 0-7 in the Big 12?
Not that much. Mm. Not that much. I wish I could put more. I feel like last night can be, and I hope it is, this galvanizing moment for this BYU basketball team. Specifically,
agreed.
When you are in that weird place down 10, like, what? Oh no.
Last Tuesday, we felt like, okay, snap the 3-game losing streak against Oklahoma State. Some mojo into Utah. Didn't quite get over the hump. Overtime loss in 1-1. That's tough. So is it that much different from what BYU did against Oklahoma State? You could say, hey, it was on the road.
Because
that's
it was on
good.
The road, and BYU but has not won on the road, that was a big mental hurdle.
But Colorado is
so bad.
So beatable, and they turned the ball over so much.
How did that team beat UConn?
I don't know.
How
dude.
Did Colorado beat UConn?
All I know is Dan Hurley is the best college basketball player.
Don't
coach
turn your
in
back
America.
On him. Don't turn your back on him, Jerome.
Stop talking to refs like they're less than you. What are we doing, Dan Hurley? Gosh. Yeah.
The Hurley boys are
fired up.
The road win carries the most weight for me, because BYU had not played well and had not won on the road. And finally, they put it together in a half.
The remedy was
on the road.
0-6 in League Colorado.
Fine.
Which is great. Yeah.
The healing balm that we had talked about, right? Like the healing balm of the Buffs.
Yeah.
So, how do you quantify that?
Not a
that?
Ton. I love winning. Don't get me wrong. It's hard to win in this league. I cherish that. But you have to win that game. Like, if you don't win that game, you're like, meh.
5.5-point favorite going into tip.
Which was low, and they blew them out, right? I'm encouraged by the way BYU played. The points per possession, like I mentioned, 1.3 was amazing. You just hope that BYU discovered something. We keep kind of saying that.
Yeah.
Because you need to be sustainable in certain ways to beat a Cincinnati, to beat a Baylor.
Yes. By the way, I like the number that you bring up. For context, for those who are not in the numbers, what do you feel is the baseline for a good points per possession?
1.1.
Okay.
Yeah. What, like, and you want to give up less than
I tend to agree. I was going to say 1.2. 1.2 is really
1.2 good. 1.2 is pretty good. Like, I would say that's on the higher end. That'd be like in football, like 40 points. Like 1.3 is like BYU scored like 50 points.
1.1 is a good baseline number to look
at. As opposed to a whole number, but what if there were fewer possessions, .. Like last night, Iowa State scores like 108 in a game against UCF. It's like, whoa, they had a ton of possessions. Then Kansas beat Cincinnati 54-40 like a week or two ago. It's like there were fewer possessions. It's not about total points, is about points per possession. Okay,
Clara beat our friends from Gonzaga by scoring 103 in Spokane.
Did they do that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't pay attention to WCC anymore.
The Zags have lost back-to-back WCC games for the first time in 11 years.
And that concludes the WCC portion of the program. Okay, I'll be more impressed with BYU if they can get a quad one win.
Yes.
If they can get a 3-game win streak in league, beat Cincinnati, beat Baylor.
They have the opportunity right now.
Right. We keep using the P and O words, potential and opportunity. I just want to talk about W words, wins. At or above 500 in league, and then beat a team ahead of it in the standings. The good news is BYU's winning. The bad news is they probably should have beat these three teams, right? Arizona State, Oklahoma State, Colorado. The challenge for BYU is not whether they're going to beat these teams, which, by the way, Arizona State won at West Virginia last night. Mm-hmm. That's an upset. Wow. Okay, because West Virginia has beaten Iowa State and Kansas already. Holy
West Virginia is a weird team.
BYU needs to beat other teams, right? If you're going to be on the what we've said with the 16-team conference, ESPN and us, our graphics, the top 8 are on the left side, the bottom 8 are on the right side. You want to be on the left side. Get into the upper echelon, the upper half of the league.
That was a thing established last year on the show.
Yeah,
be on the left side of the graphic.
Be on the left. You know, when we get to heaven, we want to be on the right, is what we've learned from the scriptures. But BYU's 3 league wins are against 3 of the bottom 4 currently. So, yes, win those games, excited about it, but you move on and you say, okay, now you need to start to beat teams mm-hmm. that are above you. Cincinnati is below BYU in the standings. That's a game you, in theory, should win at
Cincinnati's
home, right?
A weird team. They comparable to, like, what Kansas was in football when they came to Provo. That's kind of how I feel about Cincinnati.
Let's talk about them in league. So they lost by 3 at Kansas State. Kansas State, not good. I would argue the worst team.
Bad loss.
Lost by 5 versus Arizona. That's a competitive
yep.
result. Lost by 20 at Baylor. Lost by 14 at Kansas. That's that 54-40 game.
Okay.
Won by 6 at Colorado. BYU won by way more. Mm-hmm. Won by 7 against Arizona State. BYU won by 20. Lost by 10, Texas Tech. BYU lost by 7.
Okay.
Just as a comparison there. So, similar-ish to BYU. BYU is only one game better.
BYU should be a favorite on their home floor. They will be.
Yeah. Got to win that. I'll be more impressed, not if BYU just beat Cincinnati, if they also beat Baylor.
And they're 5-4.
This is a moment in the season. BYU's got to stack some wins here in January because February is tough.
Now is the time to get above 500.
Yep.
That was another thing we talked heavily about last year. Can BYU crawl above 500 in league play?
Did they start 2-4 last year as well last year? Someone brought that up to me yesterday, and I'd forgotten that.
Yes, okay. And then they had to beat Texas at home.
And that was a big Saturday afternoon one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then I can't remember who they beat
with Dylan
after
Mitchell,
that.
By the way, who plays for Cincinnati now, coming in Saturday.
I can't remember who they beat after that, but BYU got to 4-4, and they went on the road and lost to Oklahoma, and they were 4-5.
Yeah.
And so it was this thing. How it was, they beat West Virginia on the road to get to 4-4. Correct.
Yeah.
However, last year's schedule was a little bit tougher than what BYU has faced in the early part of this season.
Yeah.
Not by much, but a little bit tougher. So BYU needs to handle business at home. Here's the good news. As you look at what BYU has done in league play, this is the good news. It's not like they have a bad home loss.
Right.
It was to Texas Tech.
Who, to me, is top five team in the league.
They are so good. They won again last night. Texas Tech
They're good.
Is better than I thought they were going to be. I thought they were going to be good. They're better than that.
So is West Virginia.
And BYU was competitive, very competitive in the game, in position to win that game. Cougars get blown out by the Cougars in red at Houston, but the losses and the most frustrating losses have happened on the road.
Houston's the only undefeated team in league now.
There you go. They ran BYU out of the building, no doubt about it. The good news is BYU has an opportunity on their home floor to take care of business, and they play much better, as most teams do, on their home floor. I believe that they should beat Cincinnati, and then I think BYU has – they might be a 1 or 2 point favorite when Baylor rolls into the Marriott Center.
Baylor's interesting. They just lost to TCU.
At home.
Yeah. So
we don't know what Baylor
is. That's a big
is.
Game. Like, I circled the Baylor game preseason as one of the top four home games. I think it's a huge game.
Yeah. So how much stock are we putting in? Or well, listen, we're not running to our stockbroker and saying, like, throw it all in this hedge fund.
Yeah, it's not, what was it, Trump meme coin over the weekend?
Yeah, we're like, hey, take three.
What?
Take this 5% from this
making up
from
money?
This asset and move it over into the BYU basketball.
I got 5%. The Melania meme coin.
Now, if BYU wins the next two,
yeah, I don't
now we add some significant stock, perhaps. Okay, because they're above 500.
I'm investing in straight gold, Spence.
Our question of the day is
AK
this.
Threes.
How much stock are you putting into BYU's win over Colorado?
Oh, this is my boy.
Jerem Matsuda on X answers. First half was concerning. BYU beat a bad team with a few fans in the stands.
No one was there. The Cougar Nation was there.
Yep, they were the loudest.
I was told 1,000 to 1,500 fans was the estimate.
Well done. Well done. It's the right direction, says Jerem Matsuda, but hard to read more into it than that. Hopefully, BYU can build momentum from this.
Well said. Well said.
This can be a momentum build. This, again, the galvanizing moment. You won a road game.
We hope so.
You figured it out. Bring that momentum back home. Take care of business on your home floor and get to 5-4.
Yeah.
And then we reassess.
Get a win streak. And, like, I want a 3-game win streak. I just don't want a 2. Let's go. Okay, Colorado head coach Tad Boyle had high praise for BYU's Richie Saunders, the Colonel, as we call him. In his post-game press conference last night, saying, I think Richie Saunders is an all-league player. Mm. Is Richie Saunders playing at an all-Big 12 level right now? Is he an all-league player?
100%. If the all-league awards were determined today, Richie would be on that list.
Yeah.
He should be. And we're going to ask Sean Farnham about it, and I know he'll agree with us.
Yeah.
Richie's been unbelievable for BYU.
He's been better than I thought. He's BYU's best player.
He's their leading scorer, but it's not just that he's the leading scorer. It's how efficient he has been.
Yeah. Let's talk about his conference numbers.
He leads the conference in two major categories. You're going to bring it up. Yeah.
Conference awards are based on conference numbers only, by the way, not the whole season. Three-point percentage, number one, 46%.
There you go.
Three-point makes per game, 2.7.
So he has dipped to number two. I thought he was still number one.
Oh, now he stinks. Okay. He's number two.
Okay.
Three, field goal percentage, almost 56%. Points per game, he's fourth. He's got 3 25-plus point games in league.
Yeah.
Richie Saunders is the truth, man. Like when Kevin Young a couple weeks ago said, hey, I believe he's an NBA guy. And it was like, whoa, what? If he continues to play like this, he's going to get a shot.
There is
and he's
a
more
spot.
Athletic than you think. He's super quick. He beats guys off the dribble. He's got a jump shot that's super high in the air. He rebounds really well. He defends. He gets out in transition, like the headband. It's awesome. Richie's awesome.
He's got several superpowers. Like, everyone pointed to as just his engine, like his motor. Like,
That
has now vastly expanded. He's much more than just, he's vastly expanded that.
He's not just a hard worker, and he's not a glue guy anymore. He graduated from that. It's over. He is
all Big 12 player.
He is BYU's best player.
He's pacing to be an NBA guy. Every NBA team can use a dude of requirement.
The dude of requirement.
Come on.
Brigham Young.
Come on.
Intercollegiate men's basketball.
All right. Let's keep the good vibes rolling into number 5 BYU men's volleyball, who plays at number 2 UC Irvine tonight. Match 1 of 2. This is a Wednesday-Saturday scenario.
Probably due to men's basketball, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Weird, but still, they play 2 Wednesday and Saturday, both at UC Irvine.
The Bryn.
What's at stake for the Cougars, who have overachieved thus far in volleyball and have a nice resume, Jeremy, tonight when they play UC Irvine?
If they win both this week against number 2 UC Irvine, I think they'll be number 2 going into next week. Right now, BYU is the best resume in the country, by the way. They've won 2 at Ohio State, who just beat number 1 UCLA last week.
Wow.
Took them off the number 1 perch, and won 2 at number 6 Ball State. That's great. Split would be good. If you just don't lose both, probably. If you lose both in 5, okay, you played competitively. And then you have Hawaii, who's top 5 as well, coming in next week. So big set of 4 here. Would love to see BYU go at least 2-2.
Whoa.
3-1 might get them to number 2. 4-0. Would make them the number 1 team in the country.
Okay, so there are
some things.
They
would supersede Long Beach State, in my opinion.
There are definitely some things at stake.
Because they're playing 2-4 the next 2 weeks.
If BYU wants to prove that they are a legitimate national championship contender, you win one of these 2. If you do that, so that to me is like, what's at stake? Like, okay, are you for real?
Because UC Irvine's really good.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
How competitive are they with UC Irvine? If they win one of those 2, then watch out. Like, Brigham is back in men's volleyball.
Cougar Nation is going to be at that game, by the way. They always show up at UC Irvine.
I love it.
A lot of BYU fans in Southern California go to that.
So I know the Pyramid's Long Beach State.
Bryn Center.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The Brenton Center?
Bryn.
The Bryn Center?
B-R-E-N.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go, Cougar Nation. Show up!
Brother Bryn. Women's basketball at Iowa State tonight. That's also a big game. Cyclone's really good in women's hoops. 7:30 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
Tough challenge, to say the least. After the break, we welcome back ESPN's Sean Farnham for his weekly segment on the show. How much stock is he putting in to Richie Saunders and BYU basketball after their dominant win?
Look, Sean's staying at the Hyatt place.
Sean Farnham next on BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
It's not about the losses, but how do you respond to those losses?
They play in the Big 12 now, and there will be ample opportunities to pick up some big wins along the way.
That's how quick you can turn it around in a conference like the Big 12.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. We are not going to cut to a red screen at any point in this show.
Well, hope not.
We will stay live. And it's paramount that we do so because we welcome in, from ESPN, college basketball insider and analyst Sean Farnham is back for his weekly segment in his busy schedule, making time once again for us. Sean, great to talk with you as always. How you feeling
this
morning?
Do you think the red screen was like Utah somehow like trying to circumvent everything and just remind people that they won? Like, I don't know.
They're off the Pac-12 network and they got really excited about being on ESPN.
Yeah, today's actually a good day, boys. Today's a good day. First of all, as you noticed, the shirt.
You're looking great.
Very well pressed.
Freshly pressed.
Nice.
Yeah, I did a pretty good job pressing my shirt. And then today was Inferno at Orange Theory, which means you row for 100 meters, then run 0.1, then row for 200 meters, then run 0.1. Mm. And then you go back and forth, and you add 100 meters every time. You have 23 minutes. And I got to 4,410 meters.
Yeah. Sean! Yeah,
a lot well done.
Let's go.
Nicely
Let's
done.
Go. Eric Mika, by the way, former BYU guy, he rows consistently. So I think next time you're in town, you guys maybe need to connect and just row it up.
There's a lot of things I have on my list of the next time I come to town, what I need to do. It keeps growing. I will let you know that the last time we talked, I said I was not scheduled at that point in time to come back to town. I'm coming back to town.
Oh, yeah. Sean, yeah. When are you coming back to town?
Which game?
It is just a wee little tiny game on a Tuesday night in February against the Kansas
Chiefs. Let's go!
That's a great game.
Yes!
That'll be a great game.
Oh, baby. Okay, well, you've seen the Marriott Center absolutely electric. When Gonzaga yes. came in as the number two team in the country and BYU pulls that game, it's going to be just like that, Sean.
I can't wait. Like, I mean, like, literally, there are certain atmospheres that you get excited for. I've got to come up with something creative with The Rock. So I challenge anybody from The Rock that has a creative idea that I can sell to ESPN that we can use in the broadcast that highlights just how amazing that student section is.
Okay.
You can direct message me on my Instagram and find me there. It's not hard to find me. Sean Farnham, just go ahead, type it in. It'll pop right back up. And then message me and let me know what creative idea you have. I'm going to try to figure out one that we can kind of try to showcase how amazing the environment's going to be.
I've got an initial entry for you and an idea, Sean. Like, they have a lot of fat heads that they, you know, distract the free throw shooters with. Why shouldn't you have the fattest of all the fat heads?
This is a noun, not an adjective.
In The Rock. Like, why is there not a Sean Farnham, I mean, huge fat head?
That's great, but does that showcase The Rock enough? And by the way, if we were to do a fat head of me, it would have to be the picture of me devouring a cougar tail that would be used for that. But no, I want creativity. I think there's a lot of great minds on that campus inside The Rock, and so that's my challenge. They can direct message me on Instagram, and hopefully we come up with something pretty good to have a lot of fun that night, because I think it's going to be one of the best environments that college basketball sees.
I love it.
Can't wait, man.
I love it. Okay, so we're hoping that BYU brings in some significant momentum before that Kansas game. And Jeremy and I were just talking about the importance of BYU trying to have this galvanizing moment from winning at Colorado and creating some steam in the right direction, coming home, taking care of business. How much stock are you putting into what BYU did last night in Boulder against a winless team in conference?
Yeah, I was here listening to your previous segment, and you are really like a three-quarter glass full guy when it comes to putting stock into that win. Just being honest, okay? you're talking about an 0-7 Colorado team.
I know, they're so bad.
They're awful. They lost so much from last year. I mean, they are not a very good basketball team, and that's being kind at this point in time. So, look, here's what you take away from it. You got the win. And anytime you win a game on the road in Big 12 play, it is significant. Like, those wins don't come easy. So you have to be able to at least celebrate it a little bit. But there's a lot of work left to get done here. And when you've lost four out of your last six games, you can't just look at one win and go, hey, you know, that's great. If you would have won at Utah and at Colorado, now we're cooking with some gas. But because you didn't, I still think, you know, you've got work to do. And these home games now that you've got coming up are very, very important. You need to protect home court. We see across the conference how important that is to moving up in the standings. And that should be the focus right now for BYU.
Certainly big games against Cincinnati, who at times has looked amazing, been in the top 25, yet they've gone 2-5 in league. It's a tough league, obviously. BYU's encountered that as well. Then Baylor comes in. Baylor expected to be one of those top three or four teams. They've lost a couple of games that were a bit surprising, namely TCU. So what does BYU need to accomplish in these two games where it feels like if they win these two, maybe they're back on track?
Yeah, I mean, it is a flip of the switch, right? Like, you can turn the light off, you can turn the light on. And that's how quick you can change the direction of your season inside the Big 12 because you have opportunities. I've got the Baylor-Utah game on Saturday. And I'll be heading to Utah for that one. But I think that what I look at in those two games is just how very different stylistically they are and the strengths of their team. I think when you look at Cincinnati, this is a Cincinnati team that really struggles to shoot the three-point shot. BYU has to be efficient from beyond the arc. They have to be efficient every game from beyond the arc. But like this game in particular, they could create a gap. Like, I always look, when I look at teams and I say, okay, how do they match up? Where's your plus minus? Do you dominate the glass? You know, Iowa State, they create turnovers. They get points off of turnovers. Their plus minus on turnover points off of turnovers is like, you know, 14 points per game. Well, that's a distinct advantage that every game, you know, you're plus 14 in points off of turnovers. This is a game at home where legitimately BYU should be plus, at minimum, plus 15, plus 18 from beyond the three-point line. Now, this is a team in Cincinnati that wants to get downhill on you. Jizzle James, very strong, very good defensive team. But you can shoot out over the top of this. And I think that's obviously a strength that, that BYU is going to have. And then when you create turnovers to play out in front of their defense, if you allow it to become a half-court game and you allow Cincinnati to get set, I think things become much more difficult at home in this game because they are a very tough and physical team. But they struggle to shoot the ball. And I think, you know, keep them into tough contested shots, keep them out of the paint, wall up your defense, keep your defense a little bit tighter, build in your help side a little bit more. I think that would really work well against Cincinnati. And then you talk about a Baylor team that has superior athleticism out on the outside. I mean, smaller guards, I think that's going to be an interesting matchup because their guards are a lot smaller. They're less disruptive at the defensive end than what we've seen from Baylor in recent years. Vijay Edgecombe was obviously an elite level player. I think the biggest key in stopping Baylor is limiting Norchad Omir's impact on the game. He is a double-double machine. He gets on the offensive glass. He manufactures points. So those are, you know, very different styles. But I do think that, you know, you've got to close out to Jaden Nunn. He's one of the better three-point shooters in the conference. But Norchad Omir is the heartbeat of this team right now. And you got to keep him off the glass, not allow extra possessions. And I think if they do that, they could find those two wins. And then all of a sudden at 5-4, when I join you next week, I think people will feel a little bit different. We keep saying that though. Yep. And I think that's the key is we keep saying, well, you know, they win these next two games, we'll feel really different. Then they don't. Well, if they win the next two games, we're going to feel really different. And at some point in time, you got to win the next two games. Otherwise, you know, you're a 500, sub 500 team in conference play. And if you want to get to the end of the season, when you look at the upcoming schedule and you say, hey, get 10 conference wins, you got to start picking up some games that maybe you shouldn't. The ones at home are the ones you definitely should. And then that means you got to go on the road to UCF after that. And UCF is a dangerous team, as we've seen. They're hot and cold. They've got a lot of their best offense sometimes is just chaotic drives into your body and getting to the free throw line. They shoot the free throw more, make more free throws than most teams in the country. West Virginia, Javon Small might be the Big 12 player of the year at this point in time with how well he has played. Obviously struggled last night in their game that they took a loss. Arizona's been playing a lot better. Arizona State is a tough defensive team. Iowa State is as elite as they come in college basketball this year. Joshua Jefferson had 30 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists last night to go along with their outstanding guard play. This is a gauntlet. But the good news is we'll talk about this after all those games are played, and you'll throw up the next schedule, and there's another gauntlet. And so how you're able to handle that and what kind of momentum you can build, I think, is going to be really important.
ESPN's Sean Farnham, as the kids say, spitting facts on BYU Sports Nation, assessing BYU in the Big 12 right now. I want to talk about Richie Saunders. We discussed the dude of requirement previously, Sean. He was the dude of requirement in a huge way for BYU last night, sparked the Cougars' big 39-6 run that put the game away. Tad Boyle said, Richie Saunders is an all Big 12 guy. Do you agree with that assessment from Colorado's head coach that Richie is an all Big 12 guy?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just kidding. You said that I was for sure. You said that I was going to 100% I would agree with you. So I just wanted to say no just to upset you. Yeah, no, he definitely is. And he's been the best player on this team, averaging close to 20 points per game over the last four games. And I called it a couple of weeks ago. I said that it was going to be a Richie Saunders game. And he showed up. Unfortunately, nobody else showed up around him. They took a loss, but he was great. But he continues to be great. And I think he is the heartbeat of this team right now. And I think he's going to continue to be the heartbeat of this team. I've always loved his energy. Like, I mean, like from his freshman year, I said, you may not win a national championship with five of them, but you certainly can't win a championship without him. And he has continued to emerge. And I thought one of the best things you guys said in the previous segment was that there's no role player. He is a star player on this team and should be seen as such. And he's going to continue to move up the scouting report as other guys start continue their struggles that other teams are going to have to key on. And I think that's going to become a challenge for him because it, you know, a little bit when you're down the depth chart on the scouting report and you're not the top guy and you're like guy number three or four, your matchups become a little bit more favorable for you, ways that you could exploit them. But when you move up to number one, and I think that's where he is and that's what he's earned, by how he's played and the consistency that you've seen. He's going to see a lot more different coverages defensively and guys trying to make him feel uncomfortable. And I think that that will be his next evolution. But I think he is playing at an all-conference level. And when you can make shots with the consistency and the efficiency that he has been able to, now we start talking about the next level and how he can maybe get the opportunity to play in the NBA. And I think Richie Saunders, you know, is one of those guys that will never be a star at the professional ranks. But he will be a guy that as soon as he hits the floor, you know he's out there and he impacts winning. And I think one of the biggest things I think about Richie Saunders and the way that he plays with a championship winning effort every single game. I've never watched him play and said, boy, Richie Saunders didn't play hard today. Like that's never been something I've said. What I've always said is, man, Richie Saunders was the hardest playing dude out on the floor. And he's reaping the benefits of that because that's how he practices. That's how he prepares. And he is thriving right now for BYU. And if he continues to, there's no reason why he will not be an all-conference player this year in the Big 12.
Yeah, we'll certainly expect his name on that list for the Colonel, as we jokingly call him. Yegor Demin, he's not putting up like 20 points a game type thing, which some people I think expect when they just see NBA and a guy like that. But 8 points, 7 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks. Is that more of the type of game we should expect from Yegor more consistently as opposed to like a 20 and 10 kind of guy?
Unlike Richie, he can't hit a shot, right? I mean, like his 3-point percentage has been awful. And he needs to get better consistency from the outside. That would obviously increase the numbers. It also opened up the offense. But I do think right now where he is at, I think that's very much so what you can expect. And as long as those turnover numbers stay lower and the assist numbers stay higher, good things are happening for BYU. That's
Amen.
What I look at.
I don't
look necessarily at his point production. You'd like to see him be more productive in the scoring department. Especially against Baylor, I think his size is going to, he can see over the top of those guards with relative ease. And he's got to be able to have that composure to be able to do that. But turnover numbers versus assist numbers, that assist to turnover ratio, that's the number I look for when I evaluate how he's playing in this moment, in this current space.
Sean, I know BYU doesn't have, you know, 7 to 8 really good 3-point shooters like they did on last year's squad, but they still have 5. And I'm, based on what I saw last night and at times earlier in the season, I'm ready for BYU to shoot more threes because I feel like it is something that they have done well and will continue to do well. How do you view BYU as a team that could and maybe should take more three-pointers?
I think the number that they got to last night was pretty good. I think it was like 48% of their shots came from the three-point line in the game. I think that's a good number to have. I do think that that is an advantage for them. You know, Nell can really get going at times. He had 4 of 6 last night. We talk about Richie Saunders, how efficient he has been from 3-point over the course of the season. I think you need to continue to stretch out because what that will do, and this is the problem, right? When you have a player like Yegor who's struggling to shoot the ball from the outside right now, if you don't take the 3-point shot, you can allow the defense to clog up and congest the paint. And that will create probably more turnover opportunities for Yegor to have. If you shoot the 3-point shot and you make that more of a center piece, it's going to open up the floor, and that will create driving lanes. Driving lanes where Yegor can read the back line of the defense and see if they step up, he's going to dump it down. Or if they stay back, he can go ahead a little floater game or get all the way to the cup. So I think that's why the 3-point shot is so important. And is a great weapon for them to have. And I would like to see them keep their field goal attempts like it was at Colorado and get about 48% of their actual field goal attempts being from beyond the arc.
Okay, Sean, we always hate to say goodbye, but just a reminder, I'm just a 3/4 cup full guy.
Yeah. I mean, you are a very positive human being, you know, and I respect that about you. And, you know, that's part of the reason why I come in here. Like, this is my daily affirmation to join you guys sometimes when I'm on the road. Like, I'm lonely in my hotel room, and then I'm like, I get to go on BYU TV today. Yeah. Let's go. And then I get really excited. So it's good.
Hey, we appreciate you wearing the BYU swag as you're at Orange Theory Fitness as well. Yeah, we noticed, man.
You know, by the way, the people in Spokane noticed too. And they were not happy with me.
They're like, you do a fundraiser up here with the flatbread. What are you doing wearing the Cougar tail shirt?
They have bigger issues right now losing back-to-back West Coast Conference games.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, they gave up 200 points last week in two games.
What?
200 points. What? There was a how about this? I know you guys aren't in the WCC anymore, but Tyree Bryan was named Conference Player of the Week after scoring 0 points on Thursday.
Did he have like 28 rebounds? Like
what?
He had 35 points against Gonzaga and hit 7 threes, and they were like, "The hell with it." He's still a Conference Player of the Week.
That's funny.
Just go with it. Just go with
it. Can't make it up, guys. Can't make it up. And listen, my response to every – I've had coaches reach out and be like, hey, I saw you in the BYU shirt. Why aren't you wearing my school shirt? Hey, there it is.
Hey,
Utah.
Hey, what happened?
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Get it off the screen.
Gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
That despicable color off our screen.
Oh, Sean, always a good time, man. We appreciate you. We wish you the best in your travels and all the work you're doing in Bristol, and hope you and your family are well.
We are, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Hopefully next week when I join you, we'll be able to say, hey, that's 3 wins in a row.
Let's go.
And we'll see what this team do.
Come on.
You got to protect your home court if you want to be a top half team or even a 500 team in the Big 12. You cannot lose at home.
Amen to that. Three quarters cup full. Cheers to that. Sean, thanks for the time, man.
See you, Sean.
Always entertaining and insightful, Sean Barnum. The red screen.
The red screen reappeared. At least we came back 5 seconds later, not five minutes later.
I wanted to throw up my mouth a little bit when I saw that red screen.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app. That show's entertaining. It's fun. We see a side of Kevin we don't see here on the court. Right?
Yes, agreed. I like the personality that he can display in that setting. Still to come, top five matchup on the road for men's volleyball that we've talked a little bit about. A check-in on the other games across the Big 12 Conference and more. In a loaded edition of headlines, this is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. That is Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton, and these are your headlines.
Men's hoops beat Colorado 83-67 for the first road win of this season, thanks to a 23-2 run to start the second half. Season high 58% from the field, 45% from three. Richie Saunders led the Cougs with 25 points. Trevin Nell chipped in 14 on four threes. Yegor Demon stuffed the stat sheet as well. 8 points, seven assists, four steals, two turnovers, two blocks, including this between the legs dish to Richie Saunders for three. Oof.
Now Wood down the barrel to Demon. Drops it off for Richie. Transition three.
Yes! Good!
What a Richie play. Saunders, what a play and what a make as the Cougs go up.
Los Cougadores are 3-4 in conference play, 12-6 on the season. Take on Cincinnati at home Saturday, pregame 9:30 Eastern time.
Other scores from around the Big 12 last night, and we've discussed some of them with Sean Farnham. Number 3, Iowa State beats UCF 108-83.
Did they play a 60-minute game?
Goodness. Arizona State, shocker, take care of number 23, West Virginia, 65-57 on the road. Texas Tech, still good, beats Cincinnati 81-71. Arizona defeats Oklahoma State 92-78. Today's games in the Big 12. Utah gets the lovely, easy task of traveling to Houston. Number 12, Kansas, takes on TCU, and Kansas State is at Baylor.
The Big 12 Conference announced this morning that the football media days will return to the Dallas area, Frisco, specifically at the Star, the Cowboys facilities and headquarters, July 8th and 9th this summer. Last year's media days were in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium.
How about some news from Cougars in the NFL? Specifically, Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid named AFC Coach of the Year after leading the Chiefs to an NFL-best 15-2 record, earning his 300th career win last week against the Texans. Reid and the Chiefs host the Buffalo Bills in the AFC title game on Sunday. And our guy Puka Nacua, Pro Football Focus's number one rated wide receiver in the NFL this season. Puka finished with 79 catches for 990 yards and three touchdowns, and he did all of that in only 11 games played.
It's the way he blocks. It's the way he rushes as well in jet sweeps. Number 5 men's volleyball. Massive matchup at number 2 UC Irvine tonight and Friday, both on ESPN Plus, 9 Eastern. Cougars 6-0 this season with 4 road wins already, 2 each against number 6 Ball State and number 11 Ohio State.
BYU women's basketball in Ames to take on Iowa State. BYU seeking their second win in conference play and first Big 12 road win of the season. It would be a huge upset tonight if they can pull it off. Game tips at 7:30 Eastern. Watch it on ESPN Plus. Listen on BYU Radio.
And women's hoops all-time leading rebounder and double-double machine Lauren Gustin Henderson signed her first professional contract with Australian pro team Kilsyth Basketball. Congratulations.
Wouldn't mind having her on the squad this year.
Hey, she's awesome, man. That'd help.
How much stock are you putting into BYU's win over Colorado last night in men's basketball? More of your responses after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation. My cup's three-quarters full, dang it.
That high?
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. He is Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. We are asking, how much stock are you putting into BYU's win over Colorado? At Alec Tur, and this is a real handle, 743-233-657 on X answers. It's not so much BYU beat Colorado. It's how they did it that gives me a sliver of hope.
Hope is BYU can say, okay, let's push the tempo. Let's get the right kind of shots. Let's get back. Let's play aggressive defense. Let's push it. Like, there were some principles that could be replicable and sustainable there. Mm. But again, we've seen BYU beat Arizona State. Okay, three-game losing streak, beat Oklahoma. Okay, here we go. Get on a roll here. Like, beat Cincinnati at home, beat Baylor, and now we're talking. Like, BYU's probably back on track or close to it.
Pile some wins up for the first time. Like, do that.
Get a win streak.
See what happens.
Saturday would be the first Big 12 win streak of the year.
At BYU forever on X says, not much stock. I love the way the team looked last night, but Colorado was not a good team. I will say that BYU throttled them when teams like Iowa State and West Virginia beat them by far fewer points at home.
And that team beat UConn. Indeed, Colorado beat UConn this year.
Basketball's a weird game sometimes.
Right, in Hawaii.
BYU's defense, specific lineups, passing energy, all of that was excellent. Overall, very happy.
Yeah, and I don't know how picky we can be. We're still sort of between expectations preseason, and I said Monday, I'm now off my preseason expectations for this team. I'm sort of like, can they make the tourney, just period. So that was a step in the right direction. Hard not to be excited. We're just saying, should we be crazy excited? Probably not. You got to beat Cincinnati and probably Baylor.
I'm content. Content.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Probably a little more.
Okay. Before we go to break, and this is a nice poll from @wise_guy on X.
They're a battle with the other show by the same name?
Who thought Yegor's between the legs pass to Richie Saunders looked familiar from last night. Kyle Collinsworth did the same thing in a pass between his legs to Zach Seljaas against San Diego back in 2016.
Very nice.
Look at the score of the game against San Diego after Zach Seljaas makes this three. It's 51-12.
I kind of miss those. No, I don't. I love being in the Big 12. I'm just joking. 91-33. I do remember this game. That was terrible.
I think BYU got up like 28-2 or something. Something crazy like that.
I called the game in 2010 BYU North Florida as a student where North Florida had 10 points at halftime.
Oh,
it was like similar to that.
It's a Division I college basketball team with 10 points at halftime.
Shout out Ospreys.
Yes, the Ospreys. Good find by @wise_guy.
Right.
Love that. Also, @BigRussia5, Kyle's handle forever.
Yeah.
Served his mission in Russia. Yegor is an actual
Yegor?
Russian.
Oh, there you
it's
go.
A Russian tie.
The Red Guardian.
There's a Russian tie there.
Yeah.
I love it. We'll put a bow on today's show with our elite voice of the day. Rise and shout out. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. How much stock are you putting into BYU's win over Colorado? Our elite response of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. And it is from @Big12Mafia on X, who says, treat BYU men's basketball as a mutual fund.
Okay.
Slow, consistent deposits for an amazing upside.
All right.
As the market rises, so will BYU. Remember, this team is the test subject. The payoff is next year.
I do think there's some element of that. Because we want this season to go so great, but what if I told you that this season is a build to next season with AJ? We don't want to hear it, but there's a possibility that that exists.
Okay.
I hope that both seasons are amazing.
Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
We'll send our best wishes to former BYU Athletic Director and friend of the program, Val Hale, who received a kidney transplant from his son, Brandon. is going to be out for a little bit. Can't be exposed to too many people as his immune system's not great at the moment. So best wishes to Val. Hope everything goes well, man.
Our thanks to today's guest, Sean Farnham.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. The conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
Oh, so much content. For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. And let's keep this last shout-out with the Hale family to Chris Hale. He beat Washington once upon a time.
Yes, he did.
Go Cougs!
99.